I'd like you to turn with me for a few moments this morning to the 91st Psalm. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Quite a number of you folks have been to visit with us and with your counselors this week and expressed these things on your papers early in the week. Some of you have been troubled throughout the week with the assurance of your salvation and not knowing for sure. You've been entertaining doubts in your own mind as to whether or not you've really known the Lord. This is a very healthy thing. This is something that is an indication that there has been real heart searchings before the Lord, and the Lord has been dealing with you, and we're very happy about this. And my, how wonderful it would be if we went away from Mission Springs this year having learned one thing, if nothing else, and we certainly are going to go away with very much, I think. Well, we had a spiritual feast each morning in the first class. But if we could go away with the determination and realization that our own personal quiet time in the presence of God is of the utmost importance to our spiritual growth. You know, in talking with almost every person, not only this year but in years past, anyone who has ever come to speak about assurance of salvation, when you get right down to it, and a lack of progress in the Christian life, you discover that the personal devotional time before the Lord, the time of study, has been completely neglected, and the Bible has sort of had a diary a little bit like this. Maybe you've read this sometime before. I'm going to read this little diary to you. January the 15th, I've been resting quietly for a week. This is the Bible speaking. The first few nights after the first of this year, my owner read me regularly, but he's forgotten me, I guess. You know, after the first of the year and all the New Year's resolutions and so forth. February the 2nd, cleanup. I was dusted with other things and put back in my place. February the 8th, owner used me for a short time after dinner, looking up a few references. Went to Sunday school. March the 7th, cleanup. dusted and in my old place again. I've been down in the lower hall since my trip to Sunday school. April the 2nd, busy day. The owner led a league meeting and had to look up references. He had an awful time finding one, though. It was right there in his place all the time. May the 5th, in Grandma's lap all afternoon. She's here on a visit. She let a teardrop fall on Colossians 2, 5 to 7. And May the 6th, in Grandma's lap again this afternoon. She spent most of her time on 1 Corinthians 13 and the last four verses of the 15th chapter. May the 7th, 8th, and 9th, in Grandma's lap every afternoon now. It's a comfortable spot. Sometimes she reads me, and sometimes she talks to me. May the 10th, Grandma gone, back in the old place. She kissed me goodbye. June the 3rd, had a couple of four-leaf clovers stuck in me today. July 1st, packed in a trunk with clothes and other things, off on a vacation, I guess. July the 7th, still in the trunk. July the 10th, still in the trunk, though nearly everything else has been taken out. And July the 15th, home again and in my own place. Quite a journey, though I don't really see why I went along. August the 1st, rather stuffy and hot. I've got two magazines, a novel, and an old hat on top of me. I sure wish they'd take them off. September the 5th, cleanup, dusted and set right again. September the 10th, used by Mary a few moments today. She was writing a letter to a friend whose brother had died and wanted an appropriate verse. September the 30th, clean up again, and so on. Was this your Bible? We kind of smile when we read some of these things, and yet somehow I feel that perhaps if our Bibles could write a diary, something like this, I wonder how it would read. And then we somehow seem to wonder, why do I get in the predicaments that I do? And why do I have the doubts that I do? And why is it that I'm making no progress in my Christian life? I seem to be at a standstill, and yet you never are at a standstill, you know. You're either making progress or you're sliding back silently, quietly. For a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And so it seems that we just forget the necessity of being quiet. Being quiet with the Lord. Taking time with his word. I read a definition the other day of a chatterbox. Now, you girls won't like this, but I'm sorry. This is what it said. A chatterbox is a woman who'd much rather be wrong for an hour than be quiet for a minute. As I read that, I thought, well, how very much like us that is. We've got so much activity and so many things to say that to be quiet, well, I just don't like to be quiet. You know, you've met people that actually don't like to be alone. You know, one of the things that I particularly was thankful for when I arrived at Mission Springs this year was that Brother Gus said to me, you're going to have a room all to yourself this year. And I said to myself, praise the Lord, that's an answer to prayer. I don't have to share a room with Gus or even next door to hear him snoring all the time. I don't know what you girls think over there at night when it sounds like a motorboat is coming through. It gets a little distressing sometimes. I guess he's not here. No, but I like to be alone. You know, when you're alone, you find out what kind of person you are. And sometimes in a camp like this, it's rather difficult to get alone because you're in a room with several other people. But if you really want to be alone, you can be. Of course, that's true at home, too, isn't it? You know, I was writing a letter with corresponding with Mr. Theo McCulley several years ago after the death of the five boys in Ecuador. And in one of his responses to me, he wrote this at the bottom of his letter. He said, I was reading the other day in my quiet time, and he said, I ran across this translation of the first verse of the 91st Psalm. And while in some ways it might take away some of the majesty of the verse in the way it's worded here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, yet it's a very practical way to say it, and this is the way he wrote it to me. He that cometh aside out of the busy round of his life into a quiet bit of a corner with the Most High shall find the Most High coming ever so close to him that he shall seem to be abiding under the very shadow of the Almighty. He that cometh aside out of the busy round of his life into a quiet bit of a corner with the Most High. You know, we have a lady working at our home, and she's been alone most of her life. And a number of times I've gone back, and not only myself, but others, and said something to her about her being back there alone, perhaps when the children are at school, and she smiles and she said, well, I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone. And you could tell by the look on her face that she'd been enjoying the presence of the Lord, you see. You know, young people, when you get right down to it, I'm only repeating what's been said earlier this week, but I think it needs to be impressed upon our hearts, my own heart, over and over and over again. We must get away quietly someplace, somehow, into the presence of God every day and spend time there. I'm going to say something that I said earlier in the week, and I wish you'd write it down if you didn't previously, because I think it's one of those statements that as you read it and think about it over and over again, it's a very challenging, sobering thought, and that's this. What you are in the presence of God, you are, and nothing else. What you are in the presence of God, you are, and nothing else. Now, I'd just like to make some suggestions this morning in the little time that we have together, and I emphasize the fact that they're merely suggestions, because to each his own. Our schedules, our lives, our family life, our business life, school life, and so on is all different. But somehow, in some way, we must set aside a time to meet with our David. Just like Jonathan and David agreed to meet at a place at a given time in the field, and they were to meet there with each other and commune with each other, so we too must in this field, the world, determine to meet with our David someplace at a given time every day. And let me tell you that even as the children of Israel went into the promised land, they were to take this land away from the giants. They had to possess the land. They had to go in, and upon every piece of ground that they put the sole of their foot upon, it was theirs. Even so it is in spiritual things. You can hear all kinds of wonderful messages, and you think to yourself at the time, even though you take no notes, I'll never forget that. But 3 days later, you try and repeat what was said and try to recapture that, and you'll find that it's not there. And the reason you can't bring it back is that you've never really walked on that ground yourself and made it yours. Brother Wildish has made it his. I like what the Lord Jesus had to say about Mary when she sat at his feet and heard his word. He said, she has chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. What she heard from the Lord's lips herself, she would never forget. Never forget. And in the Bible that I had when I was first saved, and during those first 4 or 5 months, reading through the entire Bible in that length of time, I underlined things and made notes, and I heard the Lord speaking to me about certain things that every time I read them again, I remember those times, and other times too, of course. But you see, you'll never forget what the Lord says to you personally, but you'll forget thousands of things that were said by other men, other women, other teachers, because you never got them for yourself. Now, what about this thing of setting aside a time for the Lord? Taking it away from the giant of school, the giant of business, the giant of pleasure. They're all the giants that are around us today trying to crowd in and compete for our time. And we say, well, we just don't have enough time. You know, we still have 24 hours a day. Men 100 years ago didn't have any more time than we have, though we like to think they did. And young people think that perhaps when they get out of school, then they'll have more time, but don't let that fool you. When you get out of school, you're going to have less time. And when you get into business, you'll have less time. And it seems that as life rolls along and its responsibilities come to you and a family comes along, that more and more things are competing for your time until at last you throw up your hands and say, what am I going to do? But to the person who, again, as we have heard, grits his teeth and determines before the Lord, this time is going to be his. That kind of person is going to make progress in his spiritual life as a Christian. Set a time of personal devotions, regular reading, not just opening your Bible anywhere and reading at random, but select some passage of Scripture, whether it's a book, reading through a book systematically or a subject or whatever it may be, but have some regular system that you read. And I didn't say these are just suggestions. Perhaps in the morning you'll only have time for just a few moments of quietness before the Lord, maybe 20 minutes or a half an hour, setting your alarm a little bit earlier, you know, and getting out of bed and throwing cold water on your face so you can open up your eyes and see. And then spending a little quiet time with the Lord before the day begins. There are lots of good devotional help just for a devotional time before the Lord. You've probably seen this little booklet called Daily Light. That's been used of the Lord in a wonderful way in many Christians' lives. It has a little reading for the morning, I believe, and a little reading for the evening. It's all Scripture, and it's just pieced together in a very lovely way, and very often Christians have been blessed by this little devotional help, Daily Light. If you don't know it or ever seen it, maybe they have it in the bookstore. I really don't know. But this is a suggestion for a devotional help. Then there's another lovely book that I like personally very much, and that's Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. And Spurgeon's the type of man who takes one little phrase or even one little word sometimes, and you can see how the man spent so much time in meditation about the things of God because he develops a thought. And on this little page, he takes one little phrase, and for the morning devotional, you have some thoughts for the day. It's lovely. Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. Now, those are just two of many devotional helps that we have today that you might employ in your devotional time. A little bit in the morning and a little bit at night before you go to bed. This gives us something to meditate upon through the day, something to think about. Think on these things, Paul said. Think on these things. And if we replace the things that are in our mind by the daily happenings and so forth and get something in there that we can meditate upon in the few fleeting moments of the day, we'll find real blessing in this. And then, as has been suggested by Brother Wildish, if you've never done this before, have a prayer list. Start it today, right after class. If you've never done it, then find out the joy and the blessing of a prayer list. And start writing down the names of people that you should pray for and pray for regularly every day. Now, I want to make a confession to you young folks. Do you know that in all the years that I have been in Christian circles, raised in a Christian family, and been saved now for 14 years, that I never had a prayer list until I went home from Mission Springs last year. I'm confessing that to you. I've never had a prayer list. I've heard them talked about, and I've heard them mentioned many, many times, but I actually never had a prayer list before in my Christian life until I left Mission Springs last year. And when I went home, I said, honey, we've tried to rely on our memories and our prayers to pray for certain people, and we've tried to be faithful in praying, but you know very well that we've forgotten so many folks so many times in our prayers because we just haven't written them down and prayed for them regularly. I said, now we're going to take this notebook here and we're going to make a list, and you write down folks and I'll write down folks and certain problems that we have, and we're going to make a prayer list. And we did. And you know, young people, I want to say, from just a fresh experience of having done this for the first time last year after leaving Mission Springs, that this has been a wonderful blessing in our lives. And what a wonderful thing it is to go back and look over that list from the time we started and see the line drawn through this. This problem solved. The Lord answered this prayer. You know, sometimes we pray and pray about things, and then when the answer comes, it sort of slides by, and we forget to thank the Lord for these things. And He answers so many of our prayers. It's a way of not only praying about things, but it's a praise list too. And it helps you in your praying then to watch. You're praying and you're watching. You're watching how the Lord is going to answer this and how the Lord is going to do this. And He does things in wonderful ways. Now, we saw that before, but I just want to commend to you a prayer list. And I thought it was a good suggestion our brother Wildish made the other day to have this in the back of your Bible, something that you can carry with you as you go about. And as you have a few moments, to open that up and pray for folks, certain ones on that list, as you go down the list and pray for them and their needs. I can't tell you how much blessing that can bring into your own life. I just say this, you try it and see. You try it and see. Now, I'm not saying that a little bit in the morning and a little bit in the evening is really going to make you grow in the Lord, because just a little devotional time here and a little devotional time there is not going to do the job. It's going to take time of Bible study, and you can't do that in 15 minutes. And I'm not suggesting to you that you can. And in addition to these times of devotional, quiet times before the Lord, you've got to figure out some way to have some time alone with the Lord when you can spend an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or on into the night and burn the midnight oil and study the Word of God. And you can't grow unless you do this. And the more you get into it, the more of an appetite you have. You know, you've often heard people pray, Lord, give me an appetite for Thy Word. But you know, you'll never get an appetite for the Word of God until you get into it. And when you get into it and you begin to discover some of the jewels that are there for your enjoyment and your spiritual food, then you begin to want more, and you search deeper and more diligently. And they that come to God, says Paul in the Epistle to the Hebrews, they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. There's that word diligent again. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, that doesn't mean to figure out, I'm going to set up my Bible study time right after supper tonight, and then I won't have to do the dishes. You know, you're not going to prosper that way either. You've got to take this time on your own and not rob Mom of your help. You can't take time when you're supposed to be fulfilling a responsibility on a job and say, this is really important, you know, and I've got to go in and study my Bible while your work piles up on you. That's not right. You'll not have a good testimony that way. It's time that you have that belongs to you that you must use, and I must use. You know, as you sit down and study your Bible, it's a good idea, I think, to have a paper and pencil right near you. And as you're reading along in a certain passage and you don't understand something, well, make a note of it. I don't understand verse 32. What does this mean? And then you'll find something else that you really enjoy. Well, make a note of that too. Put it on a separate page. I noticed this today. And write these little things down. Then take your question sheet to somebody in your own assembly or somebody that you respect and look up to as a good student of the Word of God, and bring these questions and say, now look, when could I have a little time to ask you about some of these things? And you'd be surprised, there are folks who'd be delighted to sit down with you and help you with those, and to the best of their ability, with the Lord helping them, give you the answers. Try it and see. And then maybe you can arrange a time when you can study with someone else. And this can be very profitable too. Maybe you can have one companion or two, and maybe once a week you can say, well, now let's set up Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, and let's get together every Thursday night or every Friday night, and let's begin to study the Gospel of John together. And during the week we'll see what we can accumulate alone, and then come and share these things with one another and study together for an hour or two on Friday night or Thursday night, and have a study companion. And I suggest that perhaps you'll get more studying done if you fellows will find another fellow to do this, and if you girls will find another girl to do this. It's pretty difficult, you know, to get your mind on the right things when you're studying with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Find somebody and perhaps study together and get some help. There's somebody in your assembly that has some good books. They'll loan them to you. Commentaries on John and all the books of the Bible that may give you some real help along these lines. Just suggestions, but study. Study. No matter what you do, study. Know this book. Know what its contents are. Know what the Old Testament has to say, because the New Testament is the expositor of the Old. And when you come to the New Testament, there are so many wonderful truths hidden there that refer you back to the Old Testament, and you begin to understand the book as a whole. It's a wonderful experience. Now, I'm not suggesting again to you this morning that I have done this like I should in the last 14 years. But God has blessed me during the time that I've been faithful of reading His Word, and He'll do the same for you every time. These are only suggestions. And I again say that it's not easy. It'll take determination and willpower and diligence. I was struck by this little poem one year. I believe this came to me from Brother Tom Olson in a Christmas card. And while it really doesn't have anything spiritual in it, from that point of view strictly, and yet it has a very wonderful spiritual application. This is what the poem says. The easy roads are crowded, and the level roads are jammed. The pleasant little rivers with the drifting folks are crammed. But off yonder where it's rocky, where you get a better view, you will find the ranks are thinning and the travelers are few. What we were hearing this morning about climbing mountains, physical mountains that you can see. Well, if we're going to grow spiritually, it means putting forth effort and determination and climbing to the heights. But when you start to climb, the ranks are thinning and the travelers are few. Where the going is going, where the going smooth and pleasant, you will always find the throng. For the many, more's the pity, seem to like to drift along. But the steps that call for courage, and the task that's hard to do, in the end result in glory for the never wavering few. Now that's challenging, young folks. It challenges my own heart. How high do we want to go? Do we want to rise up on spiritual heights where we get a better view of things? Or are we always going to remain down in the smog and fog and never rise above it? In the secret place of the Most High, this is where we receive strength and courage that we've been hearing about. The Lord is my life and my salvation, said David. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yes, it has to be added, day after day after day, diligently seeking Him. The Lord is the strength of my life, said David. Whom shall I be afraid? Strength and courage. It renews our confidences in Him as we get into His presence. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hear us, we have the petitions that we desired of Him. But we don't talk to Him very much, do we? How much have you talked to the Lord this week, personally, other than your devotional times in your cabin? How much have you talked to the Lord? Well, you've talked a lot with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and if you didn't, you'd sure be in trouble, wouldn't you? And yet we expect to go on and never talk to the Lord and never have Him talk to us and expect the thing to be all right, but they won't. It restores our confidence. And it gives us peace. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, Paul says. And then he tells us how to get in that condition. By everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and what will happen? And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall garrison like a military force around your heart. It shall garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace. Peace. It'll give us peace. It'll give us guidance for our lives. The psalmist could say, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel. How are we going to have his counsel? He's the great counselor, you know, but as you've gone to your counselor alone, or as you've come to us alone, you have to go to the Lord that way too. And you have to talk with him about things, and let him talk with you. And he'll give you guidance, the guidance that you really want. And it'll never fail. It deepens our love and our devotion to the Lord Jesus. David, the shepherd lad, sitting on the side of the hill keeping sheep, learned many lessons from God as he sat there perhaps on the side of the hill at night with his staff and looked up into the starry heavens. And as he later was rejected king of Israel and was chased in the wilderness of Ziph, and he knew what rejection was, and he knew what it was to be despised and hated, and they didn't have a right to do that. But it was in those times of difficulties and trials that God spoke to David. He made himself real to him. He didn't write those psalms in his living room in the easy chair, but he wrote them in difficulties and hardships. And in the 116th psalm, he burst out upon a mountaintop of praise, and he said, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. He has heard my voice. He has inclined his ear unto me, and therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. If your love is going to grow deeper for Christ, you're going to have to spend time with Him, and so am I. And our joy will be full, for in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Young person, you think you're going to find pleasure in this world? You think you're going to find pleasure by getting out on your own and starting off vigorously, perhaps in a new job, or getting the things you always wanted? You know it's going to be a very disappointing experience. Very disappointing experience, because you'll find out that no matter what you get or how you strive, if you constantly keep the Lord out of your life, it's going to be a very bitter thing. Very bitter thing. The Lord wants to draw very near to you this morning and throughout this week and all the days of your life and make His presence a reality. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but to realize His presence and enjoy it and feel at home there, that's the great thing in the Christian life. To know Him as a friend that you can talk to all the time, no matter what the conditions may be around you. What a wonderful experience this is. May all of us know this in a deeper way.